Does alcohol have any health benefits? And how much alcohol can you drink before it affects your waistline? Let's find out. Welcome to 9 Minutes to Better Health, a podcast series that breaks down real science for you to use in your daily life. G'day, I'm Dr. Nick Fuller. I'm an obesity expert from the University of Sydney and RPA Hospital. In my 15 years in the field, I've seen, heard, and helped people from every demographic. And I've seen, heard, and observed every fad diet and weight loss diet that exists. And here's the thing. They all work short term, but then the weight comes back. The truth about obesity and weight loss is it's a multifaceted problem. And on 9 Minutes to Better Health, I arm you with the science that you can use every day to answer important questions. Each podcast, I will tackle the latest research on interesting health and wellness subjects. I'll chat about topics like, will soft drink kill you? How should you eat to age gracefully? And how do you prevent weight gain during menopause? Which is a topic we tackled last week, so make sure to go back and listen. But back to today's chat on alcohol. Does alcohol have any health benefits? And how much can you drink before it affects your waistline? Alcohol offers a mixed legacy to our society, having long been used in a broad range of social, cultural, and religious contexts. In fact, we've been drinking fermented beverages for about 10,000 years. In Australia, per capita alcohol consumption has been decreasing over the last 50 years. But even though Australia has seen a general reduction in alcohol consumption, it still contributes to a significant amount of disease, as reported by the World Health Organization. In fact, it's linked to more than 200 diseases, including cancer, heart disease, and liver disease. And that's due to the active ingredient found in alcoholic beverages, a simple molecule called ethanol. This molecule affects the body in many different ways. The one we're most familiar with is how it affects our thinking. It interferes with the brain's communication pathways and can affect the way the brain looks and works. These disruptions can change mood and behaviour and make it harder to think clearly and move with coordination. But it also directly influences the stomach, heart, gallbladder and liver, and increases the amount of cholesterol, triglycerides and insulin in the blood, all of which impact our health and weight. But is it all bad news, or are there some benefits from drinking alcohol? Can it be part of a healthy lifestyle? Let's jump into the research to find out. When reviewing the literature, it's safe to say that alcohol is both a tonic and a poison. The difference lies in the dose. First, let's tackle the possible benefits. Because this is a podcast about obesity, I'm going to focus on cardiovascular disease and type 2 diabetes. There's no shortage of literature on this topic, but it's important to highlight that most of it does come from prospective studies. And if you've listened to any of my previous podcasts, you'll know that this type of evidence does come with limitations. It's not the best type of evidence, as we can only say one thing is associated with another, rather than saying that it caused the effect. There's more than 100 prospective studies on this topic, examining hundreds of thousands of people over time, and the results are fairly consistent in both men and women. That is, most of them show positive outcomes on our cardiovascular health at low levels of consumption. Specifically, when people are consuming one drink per day, most days of the week. And the benefit reported is pretty significant, and in some of these studies as high as 40%. That is, some of these studies show up to a 40% reduction in risk of cardiovascular disease, such as heart attack and stroke when drinking regularly, but at low levels. However, it's a fine line, because when you look at those drinking more than this, around 4 standard drinks a day, for example, more than 2 schooners a day, the results show the opposite. The risk of high blood pressure, stroke, heart attack, and death goes up. One of the biggest limitations in many of these studies is that all alcohol consumption is lumped together, and therefore it makes it hard to determine if the benefits come from all alcohol or just some types. In those studies which do distinguish between the different types of alcohol being consumed, the benefit appears to be greater with those who drink red and white wine versus beer or spirits. There are several ways in how low levels of alcohol consumption can result in beneficial changes. And one of the main mechanisms is how it changes our high-density lipoprotein, HDL, or good cholesterol level in the blood. Controlled studies in humans have shown that alcohol raises our good cholesterol level in the blood, and higher HDL cholesterol levels is associated with greater protection against heart disease. And that's because HDL acts as a mop, taking this type of cholesterol that lines and blocks our arteries back to the liver for removal. But this isn't the only way to increase the amount of good cholesterol in your blood. Exercise does this too, and it comes with many other benefits that you don't get from a glass of wine. The other positive news is that these benefits that are found at low but regular consumption are not just limited to the heart. The research also shows it extends to reduction in type 2 diabetes, again when drinking low levels or volumes of alcohol regularly. And for those wondering if this benefit still exists if you save up your quota of drinks for the week, no. Having half a dozen drinks on a Friday night and not drinking the rest of the week isn't the same as having one drink a day. Even though the weekly total might be similar, the health benefits aren't. The data shows in these large prospective studies that the health benefits apply at regular, low-level consumption. For example, one drink 5 days a week. And that will be due to the way in which our body metabolizes alcohol. Now to the negatives. And I'm going to specifically focus on cancer and then weight. These large prospective studies involving hundreds of thousands of people, such as the Nurses' Health Study, have also shown negative outcomes. There is consistent research to show that alcohol is associated with an increased risk of certain cancers, like colorectal, breast, throat, and liver, but the strongest link appears to be for breast cancer. And again, the higher the consumption, the higher the risk. But when it comes to women, and in particular breast cancer, this risk is also found at lower levels of consumption too. The literature shows around a 5% increase in risk at one drink per day. But this increased risk of breast cancer is more evident when looking at those drinking upwards of two drinks per day. There is also data to show that those with a family history of breast cancer and those with a low folate consumption are at greater risk if they drink. While we don't completely understand the mechanism between alcohol and breast cancer, it may have to do with alcohol's effects on estrogen levels. It's important to reinforce that this data relating to cancer is from prospective studies only, and is therefore not as strong as controlled studies where you randomise people to different treatments and determine the outcome. Recall that these type of studies only allow us to say one thing is associated with another, rather than being able to say it caused it. Given that heart disease affects more people than breast cancer, the benefits of low alcohol consumption may, therefore, outweigh the negatives. Lastly, to the weight side of things. For those wondering how much you can drink before it becomes an issue for your waistline, well, there's some good news here too. If you're drinking the one self-pour glass per day of beer or wine, it's unlikely to have any negative effect on your weight, and can even be part of your weight loss journey. But if you're drinking two or more drinks a day, you can expect to start putting on half a kilo of weight each year. A glass of beer or wine contains around 100 calories. So as you can tell, these extra calories start to add up when you're having 2 to 3 beverages a day. And it's not limited to the alcohol calories themselves. It's the accompanying snacks as well. For example, the chips that we mindlessly snack on as we drink. My advice. 1. If you don't drink, don't start. Regular daily exercise also increases your good HDL cholesterol level, which is protective for your heart. 2. If you're already physically active and healthy, you won't see any additional health benefits from low levels of alcohol consumption when it comes to heart disease. 3. If you're male and your good HDL cholesterol level is low, less than 1 millimole per litre, a daily alcoholic drink could reduce your risk of heart disease. Wine is the preferable choice due to its high antioxidant content. If you're drinking more than one alcoholic beverage a day, work on reducing your intake. And lastly, 4. If you're female, the possible benefits of a daily drink need to be balanced against the potential small increase in risk of breast cancer, and more so if you have a family history. My take-home message. If you already drink, stick to just one beer or glass of wine a day. This quantity of intake is unlikely to have any negative effect on your weight, and it may reduce your risk of heart disease. But if you're less than 18 years of age, pregnant or breastfeeding, it is important to stay away from alcohol altogether. For more help on reducing your alcohol intake, make sure to check out the show notes. That's all for today. So please give us a like and share with others if you're enjoying the content, and make sure to subscribe to the podcast to stay updated. The information provided in this podcast is for general purposes only. It is not intended as and should not be relied upon as medical advice. The author is not responsible for any specific advice or allergy needs that may require medical supervision. If you have underlying health problems or have any doubts about the advice obtained in this podcast, you should contact a qualified medical, dietary, or other appropriate professional.